The Holy Gospel for this Transfiguration Sunday is recorded in Mark, the 9th chapter. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So, here the disciples are 6 days after Peter's great witness to the light, the fact that Jesus was in fact the long-awaited Messiah, the one, even though Peter and the disciples don't understand yet what that means, we find out. Here they are, Peter, James, and John, up on a mountain with Jesus, flabbergasted in this blinded by the light experience of Jesus engulfed in the glory of God. And Peter is so overwhelmed, he doesn't know what to do, so he does what he tends to do best. He sticks his foot in his mouth. Anybody else like me like that, you know? No. And then in the midst of his idiotic blathering, whoosh, this cloud of bright light descends and engulfs all of the disciples too. And a voice says in that cloud of light, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." So often these days, with all the intense divisions in our culture, we aren't listening very well, are we? We tend to have a lot of opinions about everything, oftentimes knee-jerk reactions, with no time for stopping or for quiet or self-reflection or prayer or mindfulness, oftentimes for all of us, about what's going on. We can get so caught up in the retweeted tweets that we can't even see the forest for the trees, can we? "Listen to me," that's what Emily says to me sometimes when I'm not getting what she's trying to say. You know, it's so much easier for me to assume what she's saying, especially when it fits my preconceived assumption of, as a man, of how I need to fix it, right, guys? And we're probably learning this better, men are, as we go along. But just a reminder, when a woman shares a concern or struggle she's having, most of the time she doesn't want you to fix it. She wants you to do what? Yeah, listen. You know, that's probably a better Valentine's gift this week than ashes on a forehead even. TV evangelist Joyce Meyer is a little crass about this when she talks to spouses in the crowd. She says, "So, you guys, as you listen, just keep it simple. Just say, 'I understand,' even though you'll probably never understand." And when we have Kids of the Kingdom Chapel here on in the mornings on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, often we have to get their attention by saying something like this: "Okay, kids, both eyes open, both ears open, your mouth closed, so you can listen better, huh?" And parents, what do parents say? "Why don't you listen to me?" And what they probably mean is, "Why don't you do what I tell you to do?" Right, kids? Isn't that what they really mean? Yeah. Why don't you do what we tell you to do? Because listen involves both hearing and doing, even in the Bible. So we're just to This last week in our leadership retreat, by the way, here at Lord of Life, we talked about how the writer of the Gospel of Mark wants us to identify with the disciples. And in this episode with Jesus, the disciples are being told that as important as strategic planning is, envisioning like our leadership did this last weekend, we're going to anoint them for their year this year, as important as all that is right now, they and we are just to listen. Listen to Jesus above all the other voices that are demanding our attention out there. This season of Epiphany, we have been listening to witnesses to the light. This has been our logo, right? Voices that have spoken to us about God's intention in Jesus Christ to bring light and life to all the dark corners of humanity. We listened to Missy Herndon from Interfaith, who talked to us about how, with our assistance, we alleviate conditions of human need and suffering right in our own community here. And then we listened to Pastor Janelle Hooper about how Lutheran Campus Ministry is reaching out not just to the cradle Lutherans in colleges, but also to people who are hungering and thirsting for something more in their lives and to understand what it's all about. And I was so privileged. Last week I got to sit down and have lunch with one of our students at the University of Houston. And I was so impressed with a mature faith perspective that that young Christian had, even in the midst of a major life crisis. Then we listened to Bobby McGuire, remember Bobby? Who witnessed to us about how he's being sustained through his long recovery. And the importance of pastoral caregivers, both lay people and clergy, like we have here on our pastoral care teams, who can oftentimes minister just by doing what? Listening. Yeah, listening. And last week we listened to Chopin Cheng's experience as a refugee and immigrant and how he continues to experience the light of Christ himself. Well, this next Tuesday is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. And this is what our logo is to look like for that. It comes up. And so what we're going to be talking about is, and listening for, are the deeper hungers of humanity as they're expressed in the Lord's Prayer. And heaven's food for those hungers. That's what we're going to focus on. And I hope you'll be here this Wednesday, you know, to join us for that. Because we will have this reminder at the beginning of our Lenten pilgrimage. Remember, you are dust. From dust you came and to dust you shall return. And the only thing that can breathe life into our dead and sterile existence and breathe life into this broken world is the light of Christ that we hear in the Word of God. The Word of God in Jesus that addresses us, confronts us, claims us, calls us first to listen to him. And then let the Word of God guide us not to knee-jerk reactions, but to God-directed action. So, where do we hear the Word of God over all the other voices in the world that are demanding our attention? Well, that's pretty simple. There's two places quick-like. Showing up here on a regular basis to hear God's word for you and God's intentions for your life and to literally taste in communion of God's love for you, that you are God's beloved one, forgiven time and again, just like those disciples had to be in the Gospel of Mark for when they were not listening. When they got scared, when they got threatened, when they got self-absorbed, when they denied or betrayed or acted like cowards, when they knew what they should be doing. Just come week after week to worship, and that will transform, transfigure you, reshape you, week by week, year after year. And secondly, simply,
for yourselves this coming Lenten season, we want to encourage you to study the words of Jesus in the Bible, privately and in your family prayer times. There's a calendar we're passing out. Hopefully you got it in the mail. And if you haven't, there's some at the Welcome Center desk. And there's just one simple little scripture each day that you could read alone or as family and reflect and pray on and listen to what God might be saying to me today for this day. And there are words like this. Listen to these. They're just beautiful words. And they're words that we know and we just kind of forget sometimes. That's why we need to keep hearing them. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't those great words? Or these. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? Indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be given to you as well. Aren't those good words? Or the words we heard of Jesus at Dick Gunderson's funeral last week. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I will, and when I do that, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Isn't that good to hear? Or words that give us direction as God's beloved, chosen disciples. Like, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this than if they lay down their life for their friends. Or, this is a good reminder to all of us, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone, huh? Judge not, lest you be judged. Or this, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you will find, and knock, the door will be opened for you. Because everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And when we're doing that, listening to him, the world around us will be able to notice. Because in many small and in some big ways, our attitudes and our words and our actions will be those like the ones we heard about in this Epiphany season. We will be the witnesses to the light. Because the light that's shining and restoring and redeeming the world that God loves so much that he gave his only son, that very same light that shone on those disciples that day on the mountain, will be shining so powerfully in us and through us and in the world that all the darkness of the life will be dispelled in loving, redeeming light. Listen to him.